And welcome to episode 24 of the Road to Change podcast. My name is Matthew McVarish. I'm the European Ambassador for the organisation Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse. And I'm on the Road to Change, which is a 10,000 mile walk to every EU capital to raise awareness for the prevention and healing of child sexual abuse. This week I'm in... where am I still going?
Italy. You're in Italy 40 kilometres away from Venice.
Okay, this week I'm near Venice again because we're walking back from, I was going to say Zurich, but that's the wrong place, Zagreb to Geneva, which means that we're walking back through five countries that I've already been in a straight line that lasts 1,000 kilometres. Mm-hmm. And with me, as always, is everyone's favourite Viking, Stiglo MacGyver.
The one and only.
The one
and only. All right, boys and girls.
And this week, this month is our special guest, yeah. Uncle Mojo.
Hello.
How long have you been out for now?
10 days,
is it?
Mojo appeared just the day before I left Zagreb, and it hasn't sat down since you got here, Mojo. What have you been up to?
Busy, fixing stuff up. I fixed the fridge, fixed the shower, I also fixed your cupboard door. We got all the washing done.
I mean... got the new tyres. Yeah. We talked about that last week.
Yeah,
that
was fixed so the cool. cupboard.
Fixed the cupboard. Yeah.
Disgusting stuff.
So that's what happens when you don't eat stuff from it, like in a week, or then it's like 2 weeks stuff growing. Without opening
we had
the door.
An entire ecosystem in that cupboard. Yeah. There.
Got lots of bleach when I arrived and bleached everything down and got rid of all the junk.
So, Mojo, we call him Uncle Mojo, but he is, of course, my brother. We do that annoying thing that school teachers do. Isn't that right, Mrs. Dixon? Like, yes. We refer to each other as Uncle Matthew and Uncle Mojo for the benefit of the grandchildren and their family. Why do we call each other Uncle Mojo? I don't know why we do this. Anyway, so, Stiglo, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been driving, and I've been not doing that much of a stuff, because Mojo's been all over the place. I don't.
He's been getting out of the road while I'm sitting
like,
in the front.
As soon as we drive and we park, he's on doing something, and then when I look away for 2 minutes, and he's doing something else. It's just I never really catch what he's doing. So
I know, but the thing is, Mojo, when I get up in the morning, you're straight up there with the kettle on.
And I was asleep.
I like getting up early though.
It's nice when you're here because we get we get on with it. Not that we don't get on with Stiglo's here.
But we used to get on with it a bit later.
But we have a different... because there's so much to do in this van. Stiglo handles so much. And there's things that we can't physically... there's not enough hours in the day to do all the things that he's done. So Mojo's here joining us for a month to just help us catch up on ourselves and get the van ready for winter again. Mm. Winter again!
Yeah. I'm just so happy that we got the tyres.
The gorgeous Randa Fox donated some money so we could buy new tyres. I'm sure we talked about that last week.
Yes,
but
we did.
But yeah, it feels like a different van.
Especially when driving. And we also got a new an oil change.
Yeah.
And we checked our brake pads and...
an oil change? Do you know, Mojo, when Mojo left Amsterdam, which was over a year ago, he gave me instructions on how to do an oil change and I never did it.
But I think Ali did it.
Ali told me he did everything.
No, Ali changed the... he said he changed a lot of fluids.
Might have filled it up. I don't think he changed it. I know Ali, like the week that Ali took over, the steering fluid had broken.
Yeah.
Because Ashton, who had been the driver previous to Ali, had said that the steering had suddenly got really heavy, and I know nothing about cars, vans. So yeah, the vessel that holds the steering, power steering fluid had burst, and Ali, first day on the job, found a wee man. And that was the second day, because the first day we walked up the coast of Denmark, and then we went to the Hamlet's Castle, as you do when you're
absolutely.
And then we walked on.
I've actually been there.
Helsingør, is that
Helsingør.
Right? Helsingør. Oh, of course. I say it wrong.
Yeah. The island.
And then we took the boat across to Helsingborg. Am I saying that right?
Helsingborg.
That's
how I say it.
You know, we Scottish always bastard the Swedish.
Well, you can do whatever you want.
As they say. as soon as we landed in Sweden, Ali found a wee man who was so kind and fixed it for free, as I remember. That we did that last week. We spoke about where was this time last year, but Where was it this time last year? What date is it? Can you see it up there, Roger?
It's day 23rd.
Today's the 23rd of August. Yeah. Where was it? I've got it on the wall, you see, folks.
Well, that one is a bit behind, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Berlin was like...
Berlin, August 16th to September. Copenhagen was September the 1st.
September the 1st. All right, so
between Berlin and Copenhagen.
All right, so this time last year I was on the road with Ashton. And I remember seeing a wild boar. That was fun. Poor Ashton lost her iPhone, which was horrendous, you know, bless her. And she was on the road with this dog, Tembo. But we spoke about Ashton last week because I was talking about what I did in Berlin, but I met her. So that was fun. That was exactly a year ago. Strange to think that was walking between country number 6 and number 7 exactly a year ago. And now we're on country number...
And now we're walking through 5 countries.
Yeah, but... So, Italy that we're in was actually country number 23, but then I went way over east.
25, so
across Slovenia,
towards...
which is 24. Yeah. And Croatia was number 25. I'm heading to Switzerland, which would be number 26, but a couple of days ago I was in a totally different country.
You were in the Vatican, yeah.
Which is in itself a wee country. Well, I suppose. I didn't do any...
new flyers printed now. Third time.
I know. Yeah. So it's been an epic week in that respect. Road to Change visited the Vatican, and I don't even know what to say about that. It was quite an experience. I hadn't really, you know, we wrote to the Vatican back a year ago, and Sandra Brown, OBE, who's the founder of the Moira Anderson Foundation, she co-signed the letter, as did Dr. Pamela Pine, the founder and CEO of Stop Silence, Stop Child Sex Abuse. So it was just a letter asking for an audience with the Pope. And, you know, at that stage, Road to Change hadn't... we'd done a lot, but, you know, we didn't quite have the kind of... The following has grown a lot since that first letter. So when I got a letter back saying we could go to the Vatican, I wasn't really sure how close we'd actually get to him, so I never mentioned it to anyone until, you know, until we were actually in the Vatican, I didn't know if we were going to get talking to him. But
yeah, I've seen the pictures of it today. I hadn't seen all of them. Mm-hmm. There was loads of people there.
There was 7,000 people in the room.
Was there?
Yeah, it was mental. It was.
It was like the 300 in the picture.
Well, it was like, I know that was the people the down at the front.
Right.
So like, there was only a couple of us that actually had this kind of invitation from the Vatican, which because obviously I'm walking
shouldering your way to the front.
Well, I mean, like the front section, which was cordoned off, had just a few of us who had a ticket, and the rest of the people had just appeared that morning and queued up outside.
Ah, see.
But we didn't know when we arrived at the Vatican, even though we had this ticket, we didn't know, you know, and no one. They're so mysterious. Like trying to organise a meeting at the Vatican, they wouldn't give me a phone number or an email. We could only write to them by mail or fax them. And then when I was back down, before we reached Rome, I got a phone call from somebody at the Vatican, and he said, I'll call you back in 2 hours. And I'm like, can you not just give me a phone number of your office? They won't let you have any information. So anyway, after all that, we got into meet the Pope, which was pretty intense, I'll be honest. But... It was weird because half of me was like, you know, this guy is the head of the Catholic Church, which is, and I wouldn't consider myself Catholic, although I was raised Catholic. And, you know, we do know that the Catholic Church and its history of addressing and not addressing child sexual abuse is infamous. But, you know, the Pope Francis is definitely addressing it in a far more proactive and different way than his predecessor. So, but, you know, half of me was thinking that, and the other half of me was, you know, kind of trapped in that Catholic upbringing where I just, you know, I was just like, oh my God, it's the Pope.
Yeah.
So as he got closer and closer to me, he walked down off the, I was going to say the stage, but they call it the altar, don't they? Well, he walked down after the kind
of... Was that an altar? It wasn't the throne?
It wasn't really a mass or anything. He came out and did a few speeches in about 5 languages. And then he stood up and walked down the steps, and he just met the people, the few of us who were in front of this kind of VIP barrier thing. Yeah. And You know, and the security there was intense. Like the Secret Service guys with the black glasses and the earpiece and stuff like that. They were everywhere. And I was like, you know, we'd written a letter that we wanted to give to the Pope that we'd all signed. And I wasn't sure. At one point someone said, you're not allowed to hand the Pope anything. And I'm like, but people hand them their babies and stuff. Yeah. And I suppose you're not going to cover your child's t-shirt in anthrax, are you? So, so I was like, people, I've seen people giving him like statues and that he was blessing and he was holding people's rosary beads, and I was like, I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah. So we did, after I spoke to him, he spoke to Dr. Pine and she gave him this Stop the Silence Road to Change pack that we put together. And we'll see what comes of that, but it was one of those. I don't even know. I need some more time to think about it because it was so intense. Because, like I say, I'm not Catholic. But when you're in that situation with in a room of 7,000 people who were actually like there was seas of children chanting in different languages, like, you know, El Papa and stuff, and singing, and all these nuns and all the security. So you get actually, I got a bit like you get a bit swept away by it all. Like everyone's waiting for this guy to arrive, and then he comes in, and he is literally. Not in the American sense, but in the original sense of the word, he's quite awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he's an awesome presence. And when he's looking at you, when he's standing right in front of you looking in your eyes, that's quite a moment. Like, it's one of those things. The room was so noisy, and I just couldn't hear anything. I was just speaking to him there, and he deeply listens to you. He stares at you, and he listens to what you're saying. And he didn't say very much to me, actually. Like, he didn't... Well, I said everything I wanted to say. And he blessed me, and he blessed the road to change. And then he said, obviously he spoke in Latin when he was blessing me, but then he spoke to Pam, and I stood as we were kind of talking about road to change, and he just looked at us and he said, thank you. And that was our entire encounter. I mean, it felt like it happened over in an instant, but it was probably a couple of minutes. But yeah, so I mean, it's probably the closest you'll get to meeting Santa Claus. Yeah. I was walking this morning thinking about that. Every picture of a child on Santa's knee, the child is crying, and I don't think it's because they're scared of Santa Claus. I think they're just overwhelmed by the awesomeness that it is Santa Claus, and you can't really, if you're a child, you don't know how to channel that emotion. I was getting a bit like that. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, this guy, for, you know, perhaps billions of people on the planet, he is the physical representation
person
of,
to God.
Of yeah. God, yeah. Yeah. And his, when he says something, when he makes a decision or a statement, that becomes the law. It's literally the word of God. And I was like, you know, so this is quite an intense thing. But yeah, so it was fun, and I'm still kind of on a high from it, because the reaction from the Road to Change people who have followed the project has been huge. And there's people have got in touch with me that I've never heard of before, some famous people, just in reaction to the pictures of Road to Change with the Pope. So that's good, and you know, and it's all about raising awareness. It's about reaching as many people as possible, and obviously, having met the Pope now, that does kind of help us with our goals of reaching as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
and you get some good pictures too.
Amanda got the greatest pictures of that moment. Really, like, she just nailed it. Amanda's a fantastic filmmaker and photographer. She does both. And she, you know, the security were trying to pull a camera off her, I think, but you know, but she, she just stood there and shrugged them off, and she got all the shots. She got the footage as well as, you know, what you see there of me and the Pope is actually screenshots. But she captured the whole moment, and I'm so grateful, because for the rest of my life of that moment's captured. Do you remember? And when we were kids, we used to go to Lady Lourdes Church. There used to be a picture on the wall of our bishop, who was, I think, called Maurice Taylor.
Yeah.
And there was a picture of him and the Pope, and it's basically the same picture. And in my head, like, I was like, when we got the letter back, and we were in Romania in March, and I got a phone call from Sandra Brown in Edinburgh saying that they'd received a letter back from the Vatican, and that we were invited to, you know, come and meet him. And in my head, I was visualising, like, you know, what the picture of me talking to the Pope, and it's basically the exact same picture.
Because that was the picture
I wanted, and I've been visualising that, you know, every morning I get up and I write my goals, and I write, meet the Pope. And when I write that, I've always visualised the picture that Amanda got. So she nailed it. So that was awesome. What else has been going on, guys?
Yeah, well, so you've been doing that. You messing about with the Pope there. What would you do? We got the oil exchange done.
We dropped you in Venice at the airport, was where you flew back from.
Yeah.
And then we parked next around day on the coast. We got a nice view of Venice, but we didn't go in. We were too busy.
Too busy.
Yeah.
And then we were supposed to pick you up and your flight was delayed. No, your plane was broken.
Yeah, just to explain to people, obviously I'm walking around Europe. I don't fly anywhere apart from Cyprus and Malta because it's impossible to, you know, to get a boat to Cyprus. But I was in Rome and the Vatican cancelled all of their audiences with the Pope. Anyone that was supposed to meet him in, was it July?
July, we got there on 28th.
Yeah, that's when we were hoping to meet him, and they cancelled all the appointments, so it got moved to August 20th. And that's a shame, because obviously I was like, can I just either walk back to Rome or stay in Rome? But I was like, no, I'm going to have to just keep walking, go to Slovenia, go to Croatia. And on route between Zagreb and Switzerland, I basically just stopped. So I'm still walking continually. It's 1,000 kilometres from Zagreb to Geneva that we're walking, but we did basically, after one night I'd stopped walking, we drove to the airport in Venice, I flew down, met the Pope and flew back. But
yeah, and you flew back and then we slept and then you started walking again.
Yeah, so it was just kind of just missed the day. But it was funny, did I tell you, Dr. Pine, she won't make me tell you this story, it was very funny. She went to collect the invitation the day before we were due to be at the Vatican. She went down to collect the invitation. And are they called the Swiss Guard? You know, those guys who look like jesters? Like, they're at the Vatican. Yeah. These fantastically well, you know, flamboyantly dressed soldiers who protect the Pope, who are standing there with these axes, you know, and they look like kind of Venetian jesters. But they are, you know, they're protecting the Pope. So, but I don't know the whole history of them, but they're really striking when you see them. And Pam had to go and go past them and go in and get this invitation. And she spoke to the soldier and said, I really love your costume. And he just looked at her and said, it's a uniform. yeah, loved that, poor wee Pam. But yeah, so as you may, if you're following us on Facebook, you might have heard about our new pal, our addition here.
New mascot.
Yeah.
I know, I feel like Dick Whittington. It's just the man walking down the road with a cat. So really, it was just one of those unexpected things. I was walking down a road that I walked down before.
Yeah, we drove ahead and then, I don't know what happened. You were a bit late.
Because I have like, no phone at the moment. Yeah. Everything right. Everywhere. I've phoned them
to fix your phone.
Every day for 2 weeks. We've been phoning them trying to get the internet working and all this stuff, and it's not getting any better.
So we had to buy telling SIM cards?
Yeah, we had to buy SIM cards even though we're already paying for phone coverage. Long, boring story, anyway. I couldn't contact you guys and I was walking down the road and it was a really noisy road with the trucks going past, and a truck went past, and as soon as the kind of noise settled, then I could hear this wee voice. And I'm looking around because I'm in the middle of nowhere, like literally it was 4 kilometres either way to the nearest civilisation, but I could hear this wee voice. And I stopped and I looked around, and then I found it was coming from this big drain, and so I went down, looked, and there she was stuffed down a drain. How do you stuff a kitten down a drain? Or do you think she just got? She was absolutely. I had to reach in and
it
get
might
her out.
Have been, I seen the photograph. It might have been abandoned and then climbed down there to get away from the traffic.
Yeah, because there's no way.
We're talking about a cat, in case someone missed that.
We've picked it up. Yeah, found a kitten. Found an abandoned kitten. But because of the size of the kitten and the fact that it was 4 kilometres from anywhere, either way, well. I just think that there's no way that she'd accidentally wandered that far. No. Because look at the size of her legs compared to mine. I mean, that would be the equivalent of wandering 30 miles. Mm. You know what I mean? So
who would do that?
Who would do that? You know what I mean? She's not even got a kilt on her end.
You need to get one. You need
to get a wee cat kilt.
21st century, would you get one?
Yeah, we go. Well, the thing is, like, I first of all lifted her out, and then, you know, so she was okay. She was really dehydrated and shivering, and at first quite startled, and then I think she figured out I wasn't going to eat her, so just took her down the road. But the thing is, I'd only been walking for about an hour, so I knew it was going to be at least 2 hours to reach you guys in the one day that I couldn't phone you. So yeah, so I walked for 2 hours just in my kilt, you know, carrying a cat. And people that passed me were like, there's a guy in a kilt carrying a cat. <It's> like, and I went into a little cafe that I passed, and I asked the woman if, you know, there was a cat rescue place anywhere, and they said there was one, you know, 15 kilometres, but it was in a different direction. So I just thought I'd bring her to Avon and we'd, you know, work out what to do after we got her here. But once we got her here, we just fed her.
Fed her, yeah. Watered her?
She was starving.
It took a while for her to, like, trust us, but when she did, she just fell asleep. When I ate, fell asleep.
Look at her. And then she's like, yeah, she's just, the inside of her body is just a big playground for her.
Yeah.
It's funny, because you two are big safties as well. I mean, it's like, it's literally like three men and a baby. Have you seen that movie? Which would mean, Stiggle, you're Ted Danson. Mojo, you're Tom Selleck, because okay. You're the coolest. And I'm Steve Guttenberg, because let's face it, my last theatre job was Panto. Yeah, so we've got this wee kitten, and I'm calling her Coosie Pat, which is Matty speak for cat. Yeah. So we've kind of shortened it to Pat, which fits, because at first I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. Yeah. So we figured out it's probably quite definitely a girl.
Yeah.
And there's a Road to Change fundraising event happening, I think...
And the 12th?
12th of September. Yeah. The legend that is Tom Urey, and the legend that is also Francis Thorburn, are joining forces to give an evening of I don't know what it's called, music and laughs, I think it is. And it's Guy's restaurant in Glasgow. Oh, you guys talk, because I'm going to cough.
Guy's restaurant in Glasgow, I don't know where that is.
I know, I need to find it so that I can tell people properly. It's in Merchant City. I've never actually been, because it's such a fancy restaurant, and basically I don't earn very much money. So, but I've heard it's lovely, and Guy has he's going to be doing a very fancy, you know, food for anyone.
It's a buffet.
So, yeah,
all you can eat.
All you can eat, but fanciest all you can eat in the world. Yeah. And
it's 15 quid.
Tickets are 15 quid, yeah. And there's going to be an auction, and the gorgeous Libby MacArthur. Is hosting the auction thing, and she suggested tonight that we auction off the chance to name the wee kitten that we found here. So I've been calling her Pat temporarily.
Yeah, so clarify, just, we're going to keep her and make all that we can to...
If we you know, she was there and we...
She seems happy enough, and we got a litter box for her, and she used it straight away.
So
went digging in it.
Yeah, so she's house trained.
She's van trained immediately. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And she was, you know, we had to get her... She had to get a wee wash, a wee antibacterial wash for the wee creepy crawlies, but she's alright now. So I found it, an evening of live music and laughs in support of Road to Change, Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse with Francis Thorburn and Tom Urey at Wee Guys Cafe, Friday the 12th of September, which it's Cochrane Street in Glasgow, and Libby MacArthur is going to be there. And I would say that's, you know, for 15 quid, that'd be an awesome night, and you'd be doing it in support of Road to Change. And we have got to pay for the van insurance for the bond. So,
And there's other things that are auctioning, aren't there?
There's loads of those things of auctions. Yeah. There's
My gran is sending out two handmade Road to Change
Those are priceless.
Hats, yeah.
Stiggo's gran is knitting two Road to Change
one
hats.
Male and one female sized.
And they will be auctioned. And honestly, those are hard to come by, you know, authentic.
You bid to last year.
That's right, they went for like 50 quid.
Yeah, 50 quid.
And they're handmade by a genuine wee Swedish gran.
A Viking gran.
Yeah. So,
Julie made the original.
Yeah, my cousin Julie made the original and inspired a sea of hats. Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff going on. It's like a lot of restaurants, meals for two. So there will be a lot of stuff going on.
I haven't checked, but the list is growing. We'll give you an update next week on what exciting prizes can be auctioned. There's I think camping in Wales in a teepee, I'm sure was one of them. And I would do that. In fact, I probably will do that. Yeah. I'll see if I'll do that. Well, I'll be in Wales in January when I get to Cardiff.
That'll be nice.
But let's do it anyway. I think teepees are actually really warm.
Well, we lived in Yvonne in Austria.
I know, that's true. It was so cold in here at winter time that actually the bottle of olive oil froze. I don't know how cold it has to be for olive oil to freeze, but we managed it. So, yes, so there's been that. We now have a cat, which we need to get a passport for the cat, and There we go. She's lit her trend. Isn't that amazing? And we need to get her some shots, you know, and stuff like that. But yeah, no, she's just adorable, isn't she?
She's lovely.
Yeah. And she's loving this.
Loads of fun. Doesn't get travel sick. And just falls asleep when we're driving.
I know, she doesn't question it when the house starts moving. No, she's happy enough exploring it. She's a perfect fan.
Oh, and she's also gained a lot of weight as well.
Exactly, so, yeah. She's looking a lot better. Just within 4 days, she's a different cat.
Aren't you, because you're back?
So, yeah.
What? So you need to choose between a picture of you and the Pope or a picture of the cat.
I know, I'm going to replace my cover with just me and the cat. Pope are like, oh my God, you met the cat? And I'm like, yeah. Honestly, like, no, that's photoshopped. I'm like, no, it's really me and the cat. But yeah, so the other exciting event, which I wish I could go to if I'm honest, is that next Saturday my brother Anton is getting all of my Lego together. He's going to get all my Lego and sell it. First of all, just to explain, I was single for a very long time. And in that time I was in a kids TV show and I earned too much money and had nothing to do, so I bought a ridiculous amount of Lego, as is my wont. But actually, I've been collecting Lego since the 80s, and because I'm such a geek, I actually kept the instructions and all of that stuff, which for a collector is worth a lot of money. When I started Road to Change, I sold all of my belongings because I didn't need anything. I live in a van on the road. I don't really have any belongings except for a serious amount of
and Lego.
And a cat. A cat, but and a kilt. But there's a lot of, probably a couple of grand's worth of Lego if you put together all the different sets going, you know, back to the past 25 years. And my brother, my oldest brother, is going to get it all out my mum and dad's loft where it's in storage and separate it, make sure it's all the sets are put together, rebuild them all so that we know that we've got all the bits, and then sell them on eBay to raise money, not for Road to Change actually. This money won't be, because this is my own personal belongings that we're selling. That money is going to go to some kids that we met in Lithuania on the Road to Change, who we just thought were lovely. We had a great time when Road to Change visited them, and yeah, I'm not obviously can't give them any Road to Change money, but I can. That Lego's sitting in the loft doing nothing, and some people I'm sure would get a lot of joy out of it. So, but next Saturday, my brother, and he's looking for volunteers to build a bit of Lego. If you're in the Bothwell area, or even kind of North Lanarkshire, or even Glasgow, and you don't mind paying £5 petrol to drive down and build Lego for a day, they'd appreciate your help. It's not going to be that much exciting, because I think it's going to be sorting like 16 gigantic tubs of Lego for most of the morning. So, but check out my Facebook, and I'll let you know more if you fancy building Lego for an afternoon. And you'd be helping some gorgeous kids who could use a wee bit of help. So yeah, what else is there? We've done. Where was I last year?
Tops.
I got some new Road to Change gear, which is nice, just in time for winter. So I'll be wearing a big jacket over these. Yeah. But what else? We got these. Is it time for the nail luck of the week? How long have we been talking for?
28 minutes.
Yeah. Nail luck of the week. Who is it? Was I suppose it's this. Nail luck of the week is, I just looked and someone nominated me for this thing that everyone's doing.
The ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Is that what it's called? Because basically, I've not had internet for about 2 weeks, and to be fair, I've been walking and doing.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Every time I go on Facebook, it's a million videos. And,
my friend Alex had done it. He'd cover. You know, I just looked online. Everyone's chucking buckets of ice on themselves.
The funniest one I saw was when Roddy traced his daughter.
My niece, who's 16 today, happy birthday, Leah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, sweet 16. My oldest niece covered herself in a bucket of ice water. The thing is, I don't really know I haven't worked out what people are doing it for. Like, if it's for. It's like, do you remember when everyone was like, women were showing selfies with no makeup? Again, no one was saying what that was for, and I was just like, I kept seeing it, but I couldn't. There was, for a campaign, it wasn't very clear because I kept seeing it and I wasn't sure what the campaign was. And this is the same, like, loads of people are covering themselves in ice, and I'm like, who are you doing it for? What's it for?
It's ALS. It's like, I'm not really sure. I haven't really.
So you've seen it everywhere. You've seen loads of these videos, but you don't know what charity it's for.
ALS. It's like cancer. No, I'm not. Okay, it might be cancer. I'm not sure. It's something like that. And
so you cover yourself in water and give money to these.
Yes.
Right.
Somewhat, yeah. I'm not sure. All I see is, this is for a Ice Bucket Challenge, but I haven't really seen any more.
Yeah. So I don't
information about
it. I mean, it's fine. I literally got soaked in freezing water today just walking down the road, so it's not going to make much difference. But as an awareness campaign, it's fine. You know, let's do it. But I don't get it.
More about it.
Yeah, we'll look into it and see if we can understand what it's all about. I'm sure it's all for a good cause, so let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Knee luck. So I get up, covered in ice water, and then walk 30 miles.
So you have to do it first thing.
Well, I could do it. I mean, do it at any point. It's probably going to rain tomorrow anyway, so...
Yeah.
I'm just a bit jiggered. I got up this morning, we worked on the UN stuff for a couple of hours, and then I've just walked.
Yeah, it was thunderstorms. You couldn't really go out with an umbrella.
The night when you were flying back from Venice, there was...
Yeah.
Hailstorms. I'm like... Well, the flight, golf balls.
I got on the flight. Basically, I was in Rome. We went to the airport, got on the flight. They told us the plane was broken. They didn't know if they could fix it or if we needed a new plane. But we sat in the plane for an hour whilst they tried to fix it, and then they told us to go off. So we went back into Rome airport, and then we sat for another 2 hours, and eventually I got home at like 1:30 in the morning. No luck.
Yeah, no luck.
That was scary though, because it was really loud thunder, loads of fork lightning.
I know,
but supposed to be flying.
I watched it from the plane. Like, all the clouds around about us just were lighting up. Yeah. It was amazing. It was really good fun. And I don't know what happens if a plane gets hit by lightning.
Can bring planes though.
Isn't it?
That's done, yeah.
Oh, well.
But I can just hit them, that's all right. It's happening sick.
It's just a car.
We're parked by the side of the road and the car stopped to have a look at us. That happens.
Is it the police? Oh, it's fine. It's the lift.
Yeah. So, yes, so if you like a bit of Lego on Saturday, go along, play with Lego on the 12th of September. Mm-hmm. There's that fantastic event, and we'll tell you more about those next week as well. Is there anything else, chaps, that we need to cover about?
Today is Ronnie and Teresa's swim.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, your cousin Teresa and Ronnie, two of my favourite people.
There we go.
I'm afraid I had to miss her wedding to come out and give you a hand.
So my cousin, there you
congratulations.
Go. Congratulations to Ronnie and Teresa. See, that's how out of the loop I am. I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so my cousin Teresa was married. She's married now. That's her married today, mm-hmm. I guess. Happy days. So congratulations, you pair. Hope you have a lovely honeymoon. I'll give you a big squeeze when I get back in...
February.
5 months, is it?
Is it 5 and a half? No, it's just 5 now, I think.
Yeah, I'll be back in the UK in 4 months, so...
6 months.
Smashing.
No, I can't be. Cool. No, 5 months, yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Leah, and congratulations, Ronnie and Teresa. And
ow! What are you doing, cat?
Yeah, the cat likes biting toes.
It's
Pat the cat.
Pat the cat.
Coochie Pat. Right. So, I need to sleep. So, thank you so much, guys, for another incredible week of support. Any final words, Stegel?
Yeah, sorry for being so distracted today, all of us. Yeah. There's a cat here.
Yeah, trying to do a podcast with a cat. Any words, Mojo?
Nah, I'm going to go and test out the fixed shower.
Try out the new shower. See if it works. See if it's any hot water.
See if it's not leaking.
And I'll just remind you guys that the Road to Change is a project organised and supported by Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, in partnership with the Moira Anderson Foundation. If you've been sexually abused, get in touch with the Moira Anderson Foundation. They can give you legal advice or therapeutic counselling. Even if you're not in the Edinburgh, Glasgow area, if you're anywhere else in the UK or anywhere else in the world, you can contact them and they'll help you find the help that you need, because help does exist. Go to stopthesilence.org, moiraanderson.org, or if you want to help us, Road to Change, we still have 5 months of petrol to somehow pay for, or diesel. So go to roadtochange.eu if you want to throw us a couple of pennies and see if we can finish this crazy walk. And next week we'll speak to you from Italy, still.
So a week from now, we'll be almost close to Milan.
South of Milan.
Yeah.
Aye, fine. Smashing. See you then, bye.
Bye. Ciao. Bye.